The Old Testament reading for the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of this sanctuary, is from 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you, in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to him. You spoke with your mouth and with your hand, have fulfilled it this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, You shall not lack a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Now therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God, listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servant prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you have said, My name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers toward this place, and listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place, and listen in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. They said, He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, The half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Luke chapter 19, 1 to 10, the gospel lesson just read. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we are celebrating the dedication of our congregation's sanctuary exactly 50 years ago, today, November 12th, and its pipe organ 25 years ago. Our records indicate that 22 of our current members were here 50 years ago on this date, 1967, to witness and celebrate the dedication of this very beautiful and useful sanctuary to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the beginnings of our congregation go back much earlier than 1967, all the way back to the Roaring Twenties. Most Christian congregations, including ours, have been founded by missionaries. We call them that because they serve a place where there is no established congregation. Some congregations in America were started by a group of immigrants who came together and brought their pastors with them, such as those in Perry County, Missouri, and Frankenmuth, Michigan. We'll talk about those a little bit more in Bible class this morning. A very few congregations in the world were started by Jesus himself, such as the ones in Capernaum of Galilee, that's Mark 1, 21 to 22, in Sychar of Samaria, John 4, 1 to 42, in Bethany, John 12, 1 to 9, in Jerusalem, and as we see in our gospel lesson today, in Jericho. Since Jesus is the founder of our religion, we don't usually picture him as being a missionary. We think of missionaries as people who fulfill Jesus' command in Matthew 28, quote, "Go and make disciples of every people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you." But in our gospel lesson this morning, the missionary role and zeal of Jesus is evident as he himself explains it in verse 10. "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Now, before he met Jesus, Zacchaeus probably did not think of himself as a lost man. Verse 2 says that he was a chief tax collector, which means that he was the manager or supervisor of tax collectors. In our culture, he'd be high up in the ranks in the IRS. And he was very rich. There's a good chance that he was the richest man in Jericho and possibly in all of the southern Jordan River Valley. Even though the party of the Pharisees disdained tax collectors, most people admired them, or at least envied them. After all, they were well off financially and had a secure position that was protected by Roman legions. They generally had a good education, and they lived the good life in every way. Even though Zacchaeus didn't think he was, quote, lost, Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was on the wrong path spiritually and headed toward eternal damnation. We know from verse 8 that Zacchaeus had used his position to defraud people. He charged excessive taxes, and he kept the excess for himself. No Jew who feared God would do this, but most tax collectors in those days did. It was only when Zacchaeus heard the preaching of John the Baptist and then Jesus that he recognized his sinful nature and repented of his sin of fraud. He believed in the promise of the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life through the merits of Jesus' obedience, suffering, and death, and Jesus' resurrection. Because of this faith that was planted in Zacchaeus' heart through the preached word, Jesus said in verse 9, "Today salvation has come to this house." Once Zacchaeus was converted, the rest of his household joined him in the Christian faith. And that is how conversions happened in those days. Everybody in a household was part of it. His wife, his children, any relatives that were living with them, and all the servants would have confessed the faith. They would have also have been baptized by one of the 12 apostles, if they had not already been baptized by John the Baptist. And so that day, with the whole family and household of Zacchaeus, a new Christian congregation was established in Jericho, with Zacchaeus as, of course, the leading layman, what the Germans used to call a Vorsteher, and with Jesus as the founding missionary pastor. When our congregation was established here in San Mateo in 1924, there already were a couple of Christian congregations here. The oldest, of course, was the Roman Catholic Church founded by the Spaniards. A local chapel was included in the mission's ranch building at San Mateo in 1793. This chapel was used by the Franciscan friars who were based in San Francisco. We call it Mission Dolores today, and in Santa Clara, at the mission there, to Christianize the local Costanoan Indians. The first church in San Mateo with its own priest resident was St. Matthew's Catholic Church, established in 1864. The next year, the Episcopalians established their own St. Matthew's congregation, leading to some confusion in this town about which St. Matthew's you belong to. Both churches were located on El Camino Real, near the center of town. I think they're still where they were established years ago. The Congregational Church of San Mateo got started in 1868, and soon every type of Protestant could be found in the area. Now, for a long time, there were no Lutheran churches here in the Mid-Peninsula. It may be that Germans and Scandinavians who moved to California preferred the industrial cities, like San Francisco and Oakland, or the Central Valley and the Santa Clara Valley, where agriculture was more productive than it is here. In any event, it wasn't until the peninsula population boom following World War I that Lutheran church leaders realized that this area was ripe for the harvest. In June 1922, the National Mission Board of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod realized that the peninsula needed churches. The Mission Board issued a call in cooperation with the California-Nevada District to a young seminarian in our St. Louis Seminary. His name was Albert R. Kurtz, and his job was to serve as a missionary in this area. His original task was to establish churches from South San Francisco to Sunnyvale and to start a Lutheran club to serve the students at Stanford University. He was supposed to live in Palo Alto and commute to preaching stations both ways up and down the peninsula. After his wedding that summer to Mrs. Kurtz, Pastor Kurtz arrived in California and San Mateo County in August 1922. His first official act, a wedding, was given to him by Dr. Arthur Brome, of St. John Lutheran Church in the Mission District of San Francisco. Pastor Kurtz officiated at the wedding of a Miss Borchers to a Reverend Steyer in San Mateo. The Borchers family later became a significant part of this congregation. In late summer 1922, Pastor and Mrs. Kurtz began making calls on people in Burlingame and the San Mateo area. And most of these people had moved here from San Francisco Lutheran congregations, most from the Missouri Synod. From these referrals, a core group was formed, and the first service was held Sunday, October 8, 1922, in the San Mateo Women's Clubhouse on the southeast corner of El Camino Real and Santa Ynez Avenues. 85 people were present at the very first service, and the next month, a Sunday school was started with 8 children. In January 1923, the first Ladies' Aid meeting was held with 6 ladies present. The Ladies' Aid proved to be a great source of assistance in helping solve the financial problems of the early congregation through their bazaars and other fundraisers. You can learn about the rest of the history of our congregation by joining us today for Bible class in the parish hall, for the potluck, and for related programs and displays after our service today. Is there still a need for outreach among the people of San Mateo today? Yes. Not only are there unserved or underserved minority groups, there are also many English-speaking Anglo-Americans who just don't go to church and could care less about religion. Like Zacchaeus, they don't see themselves as being lost. But the truth is, if they do not hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, they will remain condemned under God's law and will not be saved eternally. What can you do to help seek and save the lost? Besides talking about Jesus with your relatives and friends and neighbors, which you should do, you can also join your fellow Missouri Synod Lutherans in various forms of missionary outreach. Our district has many opportunities here in the Bay Area. Men, you can join the Lutheran Layman's League, which supports various media outreach programs, including the Lutheran Hour. Women, you can join the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, which supports mission work throughout the USA and the world, and we have a chapter in our congregation. Young people, you can consider dedicating your life to service in the church, like Pastor Albert R. Kurtz, as a parochial school teacher, deaconess, pastor, or missionary. May our Lord continue to seek and to save the lost through faithful Christians and Lutherans like you. In Jesus' name, amen.